Final hour of Robbie and Rexrode here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexrode, Marquise Munson taking you through this Monday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. A busy weekend in the sports world. The L.A. Lakers winning the championship last night. Titans still on tomorrow against the Buffalo Bills. As of this second, no more positive test today from the Titans, so good news there. Also, disappointing losses over the weekend between the Vols. Also, Vandy gets throttled at home. A lot to get to here on the show today. Been a great show so far. Thanks for y'all's participation. And speaking of your participation, let's go back to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that says, LeBron may be one of the greatest players in league history, but he's not a top five Laker. That coming from Chris on our text line. I would agree with that.
Yeah. That's easy.
Well, that's, you know what? And that's an interesting part of this whole thing with moving around, right?
I mean, yeah.
Like LeBron is –
like he'll never
certainly
be,
not a top five Laker.
And right. It'll be hard for him to ever be a top five Laker. Because,
where is he?
Because
the top 10?
Look, you got Kareem, you got Magic, you got Kobe, you got Shaq, you got Jerry West, obviously.
He just doesn't have a lot of time to climb up that list, right?
I mean, is he like does he beat out Michael Cooper? I think probably.
Yes. Probably yes.
He beat out Byron Scott?
I mean, he beats out Gasol.
Okay.
Yes.
You beat up Paul Gasol.
I love Mark, like Paul. I said Mark. Paul Gasol. I love Paul Gasol. Like he won two championships with it. I think.
What about Robert Horry, man?
And it was messed
Robert
up.
Horry.
Yeah, Robert Horry. It was messed up when they were promoting like the combos of all the Lakers to win championship. They were like, you know, Kareem and Magic and Shaq and Kobe, and then now LeBron and Anthony Davis. I'm like, let's pump the brakes there too, because Paul Gasol and Kobe were pretty damn good together. So let's don't sleep on Pau Gasol, but he's not a top 10 Laker. But yeah, I think I'd put him at 5, like 6-7 maybe.
Which is pretty good when you're there for 2 years.
Yeah.
But that is, I mean, that's the one thing. Look, I it'd be great in sports if everyone would stay at the same, you know. I think the rivalries are better. I think that's one of the problems people have with the Warriors, like with Durant, because Durant was on a team. Even though it's ridiculous to talk about this team-building stuff, to me, LeBron did it in Miami. We've seen it many times before. But people were mad because Durant was on a team that almost beat the Warriors. And then he goes to the Warriors. You know, in this era, I mean, I'm all for players getting as much as they can get. And some of it is that. It's being free agents. The NBA, you can go, you know, and move around and maximize your value. But it does take something away, I think, from the fan enjoyment. Yeah. I mean, I grew up, it was Bird and the Celtics and Magic and the Lakers, Isaiah and the Pistons and Jordan and the Bulls, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's like, if you're a free agent, like, those are the moves you make. Could you imagine, like, Randy Moss?
I can't blame him.
Could you imagine Randy Moss being like, nah, I don't want to go to the Patriots. I'm going to stay right here with the Raiders and we're going to lose here.
Yeah.
Like, no. I'm going to go to what puts me in the best position to be the best player I can be and win a championship. That's what it's all about at the end of the day. Like, doesn't really matter how you get there, because guess what?
Yeah, a fan experience is not as good.
Yeah, but because there's a lot of guys that wish they could have made that same path and was like, let me go join the super team. Charles Barkley did it way too late. He tried to join a super team, and they was like
– with Drexler.
Yeah. It was too late for him then. But, like, a lot of people do that. Like, even back then people did that. So, I don't get the whole super team thing.
Let's go back to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that says, seriously, greatness? Come on, man. He's awesome. But you can't foul him. You can't touch him. He's got more tears in a game than he has trophies. Now, I will say this. LeBron does whine. And this coming, he used to play for the Heat. He whined a lot. I get it. He whines. And visually, that's annoying. I mean, Jordan whined too. Let's put that out there.
Oh.
And also,
yep. Kobe whined. Let me tell you.
They whined.
Kobe whined.
Now, I also will say, like, LeBron driving to the hole, because he is physically just such a monster, I think there's a lot of times he gets fouled and they just don't call it because it doesn't affect him that much.
I think you're right.
But, look, I get it. Optically, the other night, Game 5 drove me crazy because every time the Lakers committed a foul, they were all out there screaming. And, look, that's not a Lakers thing. That's an NBA thing.
But it is a lot. I think this team in particular is a whiny team.
They whine.
All due respect to the championship, they complain about calls like
– they do. And LeBron,
at a high level.
LeBron has done that for a long time. So I understand optically why people say that and why they feel that way. I think there's something to it. But I also think LeBron, it's kind of like the Cam Newton discussion we had at quarterback. Because he's so big and because he takes
right. –
he can handle the shots, I think a lot of times things just get let go that other people, they would call fouls on.
Yeah, if you would have hit another quarterback that's probably, you know, not the stature of Cam Newton and doesn't run with the ability of Cam Newton, that hit could probably get you a suspension in this league. But hitting Cam Newton like that, it's like, I mean, he's pretty fast, man. Even now, Patrick Mahomes is probably going to fall into that too. And Lamar Jackson of like, hey, look, man, these guys are fast. Did you see what Patrick Mahomes did to the Titans that one time when they didn't tackle him? And he just ran 50 yards. Yeah, he ran 50 yards and scored a touchdown. Like, I don't want that happening to me, so – like, obviously, yeah, it definitely changes. It, you know, sometimes LeBron goes to the basket and he gets fouled, but it's hard to foul him. He's big. He's like a brick wall running at you, so it's kind of hard to defend a guy like that.
It's like the opposite of Duke basketball, where they foul you so much that you stop calling the fouls. Like they just change the standard for like reaching fouls. They just mug people.
That's a nice shot at Duke. I like that.
Yeah, thank you. Every chance I get. And you flip it around. Yeah, it's like LeBron. You're right. A lot of times he doesn't get – I mean, sure, does he get superstar calls? I think that happens too. But I think you're right. I think there are times people are physical with him that you probably couldn't get away with that with everybody. But he complains a lot. I agree.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a text that says, Jason Witten just did that into the Raiders like they were going to win a Super Bowl. So switching teams and going – and handpicking the Raiders offensively,
well, look,
going from
Witten to the Raiders, right?
Yeah,
yeah. If he thought
that's not going well,
if he thought the Raiders were going to win a championship, I got news for it.
Although great win yesterday,
great win yesterday.
How are you not like flying high?
I am, but like I'm real. You guys know me by now. Yes. I'm very realistic when it comes to things. Like I didn't come in here and say, "Oh, Lakers sweep every series." Like no, like I gave teams a fighting chance. I especially teams that I respected. I even gave the Rockets one extra game when I probably shouldn't have because they were awful and they play.
They don't
small
need
ball.
Your respect.
Yeah, and they play small ball. I gave the Nuggets their respect. Blazers. I give teams proper respect. And, yeah, that Raiders win was pretty big. Probably that's a – I would say one of Derek Carr's biggest wins of his career, for sure. Beating the defending champions, definitely one of the biggest wins of his career. But it's still like, look, I'm a component of you got to have some kind of defense and a dynamic offense. Their offense is good. I wouldn't call them dynamic. And their defense is, like, okay, but they're not good. So that's why I don't have them, like, winning a championship. Now, will they win games? Will they make it to the playoffs? Possibly. Will they win a championship? Probably not.
Fun team.
And now Joe's Cleveland Browns, speaking of fun teams to watch, 4-1 on the season, a big win yesterday against the Colts. Joe, you picked the Browns before the season to make the playoffs. I have to think you're feeling pretty good about that at this point.
I do. Actually, I just got a tweet from Willie Donick because I tweeted this yesterday. I said, who else picked him before the playoffs? And, of course, all these Browns fans, you know, like Martell's like, I had him going 15-1 or whatever. I'm sure he was dancing around his house. But Willie says, I did pick the Browns, and so did D-Mac.
Oh, they did. I remember.
I did not know that. All right. Congrats to you guys. Good job. Well, we may be riding quite a high here at 102.5 The Game.
What was your other
pick? The Browns.
The NFC was the Rams, right?
The Rams.
They're looking pretty good, too.
Yeah. Yeah, they look good right now. Yeah, it's funny. Like, the Rams, that whole thing, like, every year they alternate. Like, one year, Sean McVay's the genius, and then Kyle Shanahan, or, you know, the other ones lost it. And now this year, Shanahan's lost it. McVay's back to being a genius. Yeah. You know, they alternate years.
His next year bodes well for the 49ers.
So are you trying to say that Todd Gurley's bad luck? I think that's what you're implying.
Yeah, Gurley.
Man, I hadn't thought of it that way.
I mean, think about it like this. Like, look at the. No offense to Gurley. Love Gurley, but...
Falcons.
Ooh. Falcons look awful. They look terrible. But he has actually been playing pretty good.
Like, yeah,
he's good.
He's
been
a good game.
He's been the bright spot of that Titan, or that, you know, Falcons offense that looks awful. Even though you have Calvin Ridley and Julio Jones and Matt Ryan, the bright spot is Todd Gurley.
It's the most overhyped offense year after year. It always is. No Julio yesterday, and that's becoming a very common thing.
I was telling Robbie during the break, I think him, Will Fuller, and who else? Sammy Watkins,
they all got the same hamstring.
Yeah, they all share a hamstring. Like, hey, man, I'm trying to play this week. We got a big game. Can I borrow your hamstring? All right, cool, man. Out for the game. There you go. Here's my hamstring.
Sammy Watkins pulled it again yesterday. I was like, well, imagine that. Sammy Watkins, hamstring injury.
Those hammies will get you.
Yeah, they will. They get those three guys specifically. AJ Green too. AJ Green went down yesterday.
Well, he's
shocking.
He's coming. Oh, yeah. He's dwindling.
I'll miss AJ Green though. He was a great diversion.
He was amazing.
He was a great diversion for T. Higgins. If you have T. Higgins or Tyler Boyd in your fantasy team, you might want to be hoping that AJ Green gets back on that field, because he was a distraction. He was a diversion. I don't know why everybody focused on him, but then it would let T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd just go completely off, and then, yeah.
And by the way, Joe Burrow yesterday. I didn't watch a lot of that game, but it was like, oh, yes, that's right. He's a rookie for a bad team. It was bad.
Yeah, thank you for crossing the 50-yard line.
He got you your dub, and then he's back to, yeah, they're not going to be very good.
Hey, make sure you're tuning in this Wednesday at 7 p.m. Nashville SC taking on the Houston Dynamo. Catch all the action on ESPN 94.9, starting with pregame coverage at 6:45. When we come back, Preds have got about $13 million roughly in cap space right now to spend in free agency. Where do they go from here now that Taylor Hall is off the table and is headed to Buffalo? We'll discuss that next. Also, Dan Rosen from NHL.com will join us at 9:30. All that coming up here on Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Marquise Munson chatting with you here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Joe, big weekend for the Preds. They made a lot of moves, trading Austin Watson to Ottawa for a fourth rounder. They signed defenseman Matt Benning and Mark Borowiecki to add some depth defensively. Also add Nick Cousins to the fold at forward to get a little bit more grit into their lineup. Nick Cousins, 10 goals, 15 assists last year, 25 points. So not any big moves per se, big splashes made by the Predators so far, I guess, unless you count buying out Turris and trading Bonino and getting back Luke Cunningham. But no superstar moves up until this point. And we thought maybe that's a possibility heading into this week with Taylor Hall. I said on Friday that my called shot for the weekend was Taylor Hall was a member of the Nashville Predators when we started the show on Monday. That ain't going to happen. Taylor Hall signed yesterday a one-year contract worth $8 million for the Buffalo Sabres. Our good friend Johnny on Twitter tweets in, I wonder what are the odds you could have gotten on Taylor Hall signing with Buffalo. That certainly, to me, Joe, came out of left field. I did not expect him to end up in Buffalo. We heard a lot about Taylor Hall wanting to end up somewhere where he felt like he could win. To me, Buffalo does not fit that bill.
No, that was surprising. Before that, I think it was Friday. Was it Friday? It was like Red Wings. And I was like, really?
Red Wings? Huh?
I don't know. But it appears pretty obvious that the Preds were in to some extent, if not a very serious extent on him, and it would have made sense given all the moves that have been made. So now, you mentioned Cunningham. We didn't talk about him earlier. You've got him as your third-line center? Is that how you're looking at him right now?
Probably. I think you heard David Poile talk a couple weeks ago about maybe some internal promotion guys could get. I think they're waiting to see what Sissons can do. Maybe you put him at third line and you start Cunningham on the wing, maybe in the second line. Like right now,
he could be along with a presumed maybe Tolvanen with Duchene.
Yeah, right. Like right now, you look at the roster with the caveat of they've still got things that they could be up to, and maybe some signings that they'll make either today or sometime this week, which we'll talk about here in just a second. But right now, I mean, you've got the top line: Forsberg, Johansson, Arvidsson. You feel like Tolvanen's going to make the team. You got Matt Duchene. Maybe Cunningham is your guy on the right wing right now. I don't know how you feel about that if you're a Predators fan. But right now, I think he's got probably as good of a shot as anybody to be in the top six on the right wing.
So, speaking of shots, what kind of shot does my shot have of landing?
Your shot of one of Johansson, Duchene, Ekholm, and Ellis won't be here?
Are you saying
before the season starts?
Yeah.
Okay, so before next season starts, one of those four guys won't be here? Oh, I would put it less than 5%.
Yeah. I mean, like less Duchene, to me, I still think is like 0.0001%, like just because, you know what I mean?
To me, if they were going to move, I'll leave Ekholm and Ellis out of this part of the discussion, but if they were going to move one of Johansson or Duchene, I feel like they wouldn't have traded Bonino and bought out Turris. Like, you'd have just moved one of those guys, and that clears up $8 million off your board there. So because Turris is gone and Bonino's moved, I'm not going to say it's impossible they're trading one of those guys.
It's highly unlikely. It's highly unlikely. I agree. I threw it out there as a shot just because basically, to me, the big move on top of everything now would have been to sign Taylor Hall, and I don't see another one. Yeah. Which, hey, I mean, look, if that's what they're going to be, that's what they're going to be, it's going to be a very different expectation around the team. But, I mean, on paper, I'm not sure this is a playoff team.
It's very close. I mean, it's they're certainly, and maybe this has been bad assumptions on our part, but, like, when's the last time we went into a season saying, yeah, the Predators are a playoff team, there's no question about it. Like, that's been the case pretty much all the time over the course of the past 5 years.
Yeah, like, since I've been here, it's been we're talking about contention. You know, are they a contender? Obviously, they made the deal for Subban June of 2016, and from then on, and, of course, then they make the run that season. But from then on, it's been, you know, then they win the Presidents for the next year. But it's been, can they get back to the Cup Final? Can they get to the Cup Final? I mean, when's the last time going into a year the question was, are they a playoff team? Was that before 15-16, before 14-15? I mean, 15, they gave the Blackhawks a little bit of a going into that year, young team. So
yeah, that's probably the last
it's been
time.
A long time. But, that's, I think, what it's going to be. Now, maybe – in some ways, intangibly, that's a good thing for them. But tangibly, I don't know that they have enough.
Let's go back to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Kyle texts in, Hoffman for the second line and Toffoli or Duclair, if possible, for the third line with Grimaldi and Cunnan. That coming from Kyle on our text line.
Two potential pickups.
Now, there are some names still out there. Kyle brought up a lot of them there in the text. Mike Hoffman, still available. He has played with Duchesne before. They had some chemistry together. He was pretty good last year in Florida. Now, it's Florida, so your opportunity there is probably a little different. Toffoli, he's a guy. I mean, he was good with the Kings. He went to the Canucks, and I think was okay, but he didn't quite live up to what I thought he would do with the Canucks. You look at his career, you know, he had 24 goals last year, 44 points. You know, he's scored 30, I think, once in his career. Yeah, scored 30 one time in 2015, 2016. Other than that, hovers around 23, 24, somewhere in that neighborhood. To me, that's like a Craig Smith replacement. They play the game differently. Like, Toffoli's a little bit more of a power forward than Craig Smith is, and maybe that's what you need. But to me, Toffoli's a guy. You can bring him in. I'm not sure if he's going to be a gigantic difference maker. And maybe Taylor Hall's not either. Like, I don't know. Like, Taylor Hall, he won the league MVP a couple years ago. He's been trying to get back to that level. Injuries have been a big part of it. But I would have been very fascinated to see Taylor Hall on the left wing with Matt Duchesne, because I still think that's an issue that they're going to have to address. I like Elli Tolvanen. I think there's some potential there. But Elli Tolvanen has not done it at this level. And they need a guy.
He hasn't gotten himself in a position to even.
He hasn't. And him on the left side with Duchesne right now, if Tolvanen's ready and he blossoms and he's figured out how to create room for himself, maybe that works. But I think that's a big risk to take heading into this year.
Yeah, so what about the grit side of things? Because that was definitely something they knew they had to address. I mean, David Poile has said it many times. Are they grittier now?
I think they are.
Because, I mean, Watson is a guy who one of the – few guys who brought some of that.
Yeah, and look, I think Bonino was a guy, too, that brought some of that. But you hear about Luke Cunnan, and just from watching him play, there have been, I think the term, you know, like Ryan Kessler Jr. has been thrown out there by some people. And that, to me, is like the type of thing that they're missing. Like, I know Predators fans around here, they don't like Corey Perry. To me, a guy like Corey Perry, they need.
Well, you love him on your team.
Yeah. They need a guy. Like Corey Perry. Like Ryan Hartman was like that to a certain degree, but Ryan Hartman was also a guy that went way too far past the line too much and just didn't bring enough as a player to really justify anything of being worth it here.
He wasn't physical. He just was a
– he's just a nuisance.
He scrapped, but he wasn't like a physical presence.
No. So I think they need more of that. I really like the Borowiecki pickup defensively. He brings that. Like, he is not afraid to mix it up. He's a physical guy. And from an on-ice standpoint, especially as a third pairing guy, I mean, he's serviceable. Matt Benning, serviceable on your third pairing. I think that's been a huge problem for the Predators the last few years. Their third pairing has been rough.
Right.
And again, I've always said, you don't need it to be spectacular. You just need it to not go out there and get you killed. And too often, the third pairing went out there and got the Predators killed. I don't think that will be the case as often this year with those guys. So I feel better about their defense right now than I have in a while. Like, I think it's going to be pretty good next year. Do they have enough score and punch? And look, maybe last year is an aberration, and you know, Johansson comes back, Forsberg comes back, Arvidsson comes back. They all stay healthy, and they have great years. Duchesne snaps out of it, and he's back to not 70-point Matt Duchesne, but 55-point Matt Duchesne. I think if you're a Predators fan, you'll probably take that right now, 55-point Matt Duchesne.
Sure, but that also is dependent on who he's playing with.
It
which
is.
Which we can't really come up with great answers right now.
It is, and that's why I was so fascinated to see Taylor Hall. Can a guy like Duclair come in and do that? Maybe. Do you put Toffoli and maybe his willingness to go to the net and clean up some of these rebounds, which I thought as good from a skill standpoint as, you know, Granlund was and Duchesne is and Kyle Turris can be at times, none of the three of those guys go to the net as often as they should. Toffoli will go to the net. Maybe that's an element that makes a big difference for Matt Duchesne if you go out and sign him this week. I don't know. I still find it hard to believe, even though Hall is off the table now, I find it hard to believe that David Poile has made the moves that he's made and has cleared up as much money as he's cleared up for them to just sit by and do nothing. I think there are more moves coming for the Predators. Who they are specifically, I don't know. I think there's a good chance Hoffman ends up here. I think he's a nice fit for what they might want to do. But I would be very surprised if this time next week, this time a week and a half from now, we've gone by through this time and the Predators don't do anything else. Like, I don't think they're done.
They're certainly going to do something, right? I mean, it's almost like, I mean, I don't know. Do you know who else would be in on like a Hoffman and Toffoli right now?
Well, we've heard Boston. And by the way, Craig Smith ends up in Boston, signs a 3-year deal there. I think the cap hit $3.1 million annually. So interesting fit there for Craig Smith. I think he'll do well there. But you've heard Boston maybe being on a Hoffman. You've heard Boston was in on Hall and he ends up going to Buffalo. I'm not sure. A lot of people are connecting Hoffman right now to the Predators. I think it makes sense. Now, he's a guy, and he's had some off-ice issues as well, and he's a guy that I think goes a little hot and cold, much like Craig Smith did. I mean, he's streaky, but he did have 29 goals, 59 points last year. You'll take that.
Yes.
Absolutely. So, like I said, I don't think the Predators are done yet. There are still some options out there. But the big-name guy like they had with Taylor Hall that I thought was a good chance he might end up here, that now off the table. So we'll see what David Poile and company decide to do with that information in mind. And to help us talk more about that, our good buddy Dan Rosen from NHL.com will join us next, and we'll hit on all of that and NHL free agency with him. But first, I got a word from FanDuel. And let me tell you, it's time. If you hadn't done it yet, sports betting is almost here, and FanDuel Sportsbook is giving you an exclusive offer to get started. They're giving users $50 in free bets just for signing up. That's right, $50 in free site credit to register and verify early, no deposit required. FanDuel is America's number one sports betting site for a reason. They got the odds on all the biggest sports and a simple, intuitive app that makes it easy to find the bet you're looking for and then lock it in. And then unlike the other guys, once you win, FanDuel gets you your cash in as little as 24 hours. Why? Because it's the right thing to do. So what you need to do with that in mind is download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and check out their fantastic app for yourself. Just be sure to sign up and register using promo code ROB, that's R-O-B, so they know that we sent you. And when you do that, you can verify your account and receive $50 in site credit when FanDuel Sportsbook is live. That's promo code ROB to get $50 in site credit when FanDuel Sportsbook is live. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee to participate. Site credit is non-withdrawable and expires 7 days after the receipt. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For gambling problem support, call 1-800-889-9789. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Marquise Munson taking you through this Monday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. It's been a busy weekend on the NHL free agency front. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in our good buddy Dan Rosen from NHL.com. Dan, what's going on, brother? How you doing?
Good, boys. How are you? Everything good?
Doing well. And, Dan, it's been an interesting start to free agency here with the Predators. A lot of people really excited about Taylor Hall, maybe the possibilities of Taylor Hall coming in, joining Duchesne on the left wing, and seeing where the top six goes from there. Obviously, we know that's now not going to happen. Taylor Hall signs a 1-year, $8 million deal with Buffalo. Were you surprised that that's the route Taylor Hall chose to go in free agency?
It would be an understatement to say I was surprised. maybe he ends up in Nashville via a trade at some point this, next season. We'll see. But, I didn't see the Taylor Hall, the Buffalo thing happening. Essentially, just based on what I know of Taylor Hall and, you know, since covering him here in New Jersey, then getting traded to Arizona and hearing him after the season when they were eliminated from the bubble talking about, this is not about money. This is about an opportunity to win. This guy's been in the league for 10 years, and he has not won. He's been to the playoffs twice. Once in a full season, the year he won the Hart Trophy, and he was terrific, but again, only played 6 playoff games that year. This was Buffalo hasn't been to the playoffs. When was the last time Buffalo was in the playoffs?
I think 2011? 2010, 2011, yeah.
Yeah, I think 2011, right? So that's the shocker. You know, he's talking about wanting to go win, and he's going to a team that has got the longest playoff drought in the league right now. That being said, let's analyze it, right? So Buffalo happens. It's a one-year deal. To me, this is Taylor Hall betting on himself and betting on the Buffalo Sabres. Betting on himself by signing a one-year deal, hoping that there's more money in the in the coffers next year for a lot of teams that they can pay him his multi-year deal that he wants. Betting on the Sabres being that maybe the Sabres are that team. They just have to prove it, you know? And number two, Jack Eichel. I mean, I'd go play with Jack Eichel if I had the chance and I was a good left wing. That's a pretty good thing to do. You know, you're going to get a bump. You're going to get a bump in production. You go play with Jack Eichel. You're not going to get that point production by playing with the centers that they have in Arizona. No offense to them, but you're going to get it playing with Jack Eichel. So that's big. And number three, Ralph Kruger. Ralph Kruger and Taylor Hall have a relationship that goes back to their time together in Edmonton. Apparently it was a strong relationship. I didn't take that into account when I was thinking about Taylor Hall and his free agency, because I didn't really know how their relationship was. But you put all that together, I guess it makes a little bit of sense and it eases the shock a little bit. But still, did not see the Buffalo Sabres in the market for a Taylor Hall. But it's a no-brainer for the Sabres. They got the cap space. It's a one-year deal. If it works out, maybe you sign Taylor Hall to a long-term deal. If it doesn't, you trade him.
So, Dan, we've looked at a lot of the things the Predators have done, and they've done quite a few things here. And it looked like Taylor Hall kind of made sense here. You talk about relationships. Of course, he played with John Hines, played for John Hines previously. Do you look at this as a setback for the Predators? And how do you view the Predators' roster as it stands right now?
Well, I don't think it's a setback because I don't think you can say a guy who is an unrestricted free agent not going to your team is a setback. I think the Predators are still in a window here. They still have a lot of talent. And I think a full season – well, we'll see what a full season is going to be. You know, I keep saying that. We'll see what a full season is going to be. But I just think, you know, getting, you know, the opportunity to learn the system even more under John Hines and figuring that out and him figuring out everybody, not with a season broken up by a pandemic, come back, quick training camp, thrown into an unfamiliar situation, all of those things, right? I think this, you know, if you can get some semblance of normalcy, they'll figure a little bit more out. I mean, they're still a very good team. There's no question. I think that they are a contending team still to be a playoff team. Are they a Stanley Cup contender? I don't know that yet. But we got to see. But you know, you look at the division, Colorado's really good. St. Louis is still pretty good. I think Nashville stacks right up. I really do. I think that they are within that top three, top four in that division. They got to go out and prove it. Johansson's got to have a better year. And I still think that David Poile is a big move away from doing so. I'm never going to count David Poile out from making a big move here. You know, I mean, I just think he is that guy who's willing to pull the trigger and keeps chasing it, and we'll see what happens. Like I said, here's the other thing. If it doesn't work out in Buffalo for Taylor Hall, you're going to put the Nashville Predators right on his trade list right away.
Dan Rosen from NHL.com on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Dan, a couple guys still out there, Tyler Toffoli and Mike Hoffman. Predators fans have kind of shifted their attention to those two guys. What do you think if the Predators add one of those guys, maybe both of those guys, that they bring to the table?
Well, I like both of those guys. I think Tyler Toffoli, he's got a lot of experience. He's got some speed. He goes to the net. He can score. There's a lot to like about Tyler Toffoli. And Mike Hoffman, I always looked at Mike Hoffman as being like the team that loses out on Taylor Hall, you know, is going to turn around, circle back and see, okay, maybe we can get the number two guy or the number three guy. Mike Hoffman's that guy. Mike Hoffman is a threat on the power play. He's a major threat on the power play. He can rifle the puck. And what do the Nashville Predators need? They need threats on the power play, right?
Yep.
I think he'd be a perfect signing for the Nashville Predators. I actually think he'd be a better signing. Well, I thought he would have been a better signing. If it was going to take a big multi-year, 6-7 year deal for Taylor Hall, I'd have preferred Mike Hoffman on a shorter-term deal. If I knew I was going to get Taylor Hall for 1 or 2 years, that changes the thinking, right? But Mike Hoffman, with the way he can shoot it, to me, he's a guy that I would target.
So, Dan, some anger coming a little bit out of Chicago as we, I guess we all kind of see they are just flat out. They're going with the rebuild here. Are you surprised by that? What do you think about the reaction to that?
I'm actually really surprised by that because I thought they took some steps last year, especially, you know, beating Edmonton the way they did, you know, in the bubble. I'm surprised by it. I really am. I think if you've got Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane, that you still got to go for it. To me, it's like Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin, right? If you have those two guys, you go for it. That's the window. You're not going to get – when are the next time they're going to get two players who are such franchise-changing, generational players like these two guys? They don't come along all the time. You got to go for it as much as you possibly can with these two guys. They've won three. They've been kind of middling since. I thought that they would make one more push with Toews and Kane, and instead they're going in the other direction. And I was actually surprised. I don't know what they're thinking in net right now. This is a league where you need two goaltenders to win. Malcolm Subban, not a number one goaltender, has not proven it. Kevin Lankinen and Colin Delia have not proven themselves to be NHL goaltenders yet. And that's the three they're going with right now, unless something changes. So if I'm Jonathan Toews, I am upset. If I'm Patrick Kane, I am upset. I do get that. From a Blackhawks perspective, if they don't believe in what they have and they have to go this way, that's a different story. But I thought that they would give it another run here quickly with Toews and Kane instead of trying to rebuild it again with these two guys. So that's a surprise to me. But, you know, I mean, these organizations have their way of thinking right now. And, look, as much as Jonathan Toews is upset, and I get it, it's not his job to be a part of the, you know, personnel decisions.
Dan Rosen from NHL.com on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. All right, Dan, last thing for you here. Other than Taylor Hall, the big fish in free agency this year, Alex Pietrangelo, looks like he's closing in on a deal with Vegas. You know, there are a lot of good teams in the West. You brought them up, Colorado, St. Louis, a whole lot of really good teams. You never know with Connor McDavid and Edmonton and Leon Draisaitl. They can outscore anybody on a given night. But if Pietrangelo ends up with Vegas – or is Vegas the clear favorite in the West, in your opinion?
That's a good question. I think that they're a favorite. Are they the clear favorite? I guess, you know, without having fully break, I still like Colorado, although I do question their goaltending, you know, and I think I don't question Vegas's goaltending right now, and maybe that's the difference. Alex Pietrangelo makes the Vegas Golden Knights better, but if they're going to do it, they're going to have to move out probably Nate Schmidt. He was a pretty good player, too, for Vegas. So it's not like you're adding Alex Pietrangelo and moving nobody out to do so. You're adding Alex Pietrangelo, and you might have to move out Nate Schmidt. If not Nate Schmidt, maybe Alec Martinez or somebody along those lines. I still look at Vegas, and I say, who's their number two center? They just traded Paul Stastny, right? So, you know, who's their number two? Is it Chandler Stephenson? I don't really see him as a number two center, but maybe, you know, maybe he is, especially if you're getting to play with Mark Stone, you know, and Max Pacioretty. That does help. Is it Cody Glass? You know, so there's still some question marks there for Vegas. And somehow Vegas operates with like a $150 million salary cap and nobody else does. So that's
amazing.
Also interesting. But they're in on everybody, which is amazing. But and at some point, maybe this league is going to stop helping out the Vegas Golden Knights, too. They keep, you know, oh, we'll take your guy off your hands. You want to go sign Alex Pietrangelo? Well, yeah, we'll take you. I don't understand that one. But, no, I'm just messing around. Look, I think that he makes them better. He's a really good defenseman. There's no question about it. Does he make him, like, so much better that they are the runaway? No, I don't think so. But they're better with Alex Pietrangelo.
Dan Rosen from NHL.com has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Hey, Dan, appreciate you joining us, brother. Great stuff as always, man.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate it.
Absolutely.
By the way, that, you know, the Blues signed
to
sort of signal that they signed one of the best guys I've been around.
Torrey Krug,
a Michigan State Spartan that he is.
Buddy.
And a 7-year, $45.5 million contract for Torrey Krug. I never would have seen that coming.
No. He's
a
great player, though.
He is. It's been, but that's – man.
I mean, he's not Petrangelo, to me, is like, he's pretty good.
Petrangelo is like a pillar of that, what they've been, you know, to me. That's a big change.
Yeah. Now, it's been interesting. I always thought that eventually the Blues would find a way to make it work with him. But that's not going to happen. So, interested to see if he does end up in Vegas, and that looks like it's the favorite right now. Are they trading out Nate Schmidt? Like, what do you do to make that work from a contractual standpoint? But Vegas, Landon Petrangelo, that would be very scary for the rest of the West. No question about it. When we come back, we'll dive back into the Titans, break down the matchup tomorrow against the Bills, and wrap up the show. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Oh, the smooth sounds of Prince bringing us back in on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
It's Prince week for me.
That's a good week.
Prince week. That's a tough. There's going to be some tough calls, though. I only have four other choices of Prince songs.
I'm going to know it's most of what you throw out there this week. My mother, like when I was growing up, this was on nonstop.
Good stuff. That's a good upbringing right there.
I know me some Prince.
You know, by the way, rest in peace, Eddie Van Halen.
Yeah.
Last week. I am imagining somewhere Prince and Eddie Van Halen having guitar solo battles right now. Two of the greatest to ever pick up the guitar.
Yeah. Oh, I'm a big fan. Big fan of both. I think I'd probably lean Prince, but big fan.
Oh, me too.
Prince is top notch.
Great. Yeah, by the way, so I forget who showed me this song. It might have been actually Adam Sparks. But Rock and Roll Hall of Fame night when George Harrison got in posthumously, go check out While My Guitar Gently Weeps, which, of course, is a Beatles song, which, interestingly, Eric Clapton played that on the White Album. But Tom Petty singing, it's a whole bunch of all-stars. Tom Petty singing, Prince on the lead guitar.
Yeah.
Absolutely shreds. Like, just unbelievable guitar solo.
Just add that to the YouTube collection that I'm going to have to go watch.
Yes. Yeah, definitely.
There's a lot of things I'm going to have to go watch musically that you've sent me.
And by the way, our song, you know, our intro song, I'm telling you, go watch David Letterman. Just put in Stacked Actors, David Letterman, Foo Fighters. They played like a 12-minute version of it on Letterman and just about blew up the entire set. It was so good. So, there you go.
Do want to pass away. Cincinnati Reds Hall of Fame second baseman Joe Morgan has passed away.
Oh.
So, obviously, 2020 continues to suck. Just awful. Joe Morgan at the age of 77 passes away. Former Cincinnati Reds, great. I remember watching Joe Morgan do some broadcasts, too. I mean, just awesome. But sad news there again. 2020 continues to just be awful.
I feel like, so in the last month, okay, you talk about Baseball Hall of Famers. The last month, so there's Joe Morgan, Lou Brock, Bob Gibson,
yeah,
Whitey Ford, Tom Seaver.
Yeah. It's crazy.
I mean, it's, just 2020.
Somebody, I just saw a tweet, says, launch 2020 into the sun.
Seriously,
just,
man.
It's just not good. Well, if you missed the news earlier, the Titans did get some good news earlier today. No positive test from their Sunday round of testing. So, as of now, the game tomorrow against the Bills still on. And we had Corey Curtis on from News 2 earlier in the show, Joe. Just kind of looking at what this matchup looks like right now, knowing what the Titans roster could be heading into this game. To say it's an uphill climb, I think, is probably kind. You've got a lot of key players out, a lot of guys that you would typically rely on, like Jeffrey Simmons, even a guy like Christian Fulton, who maybe there's a chance he'll come back. We'll have to see over the course of the next 24 to 36 hours here if the Titans get any more bodies back. They did get Bo Brinkley and Daquan Jones back yesterday coming off the COVID list. But just right now, no Corey Davis, Adam Humphrey's still on the list. A.J. Brown, questionable at the moment. This roster could be in a tight spot heading into this game against Buffalo. And you combine that with the fact that they haven't had any practice time. I guess yesterday they did practice, so one practice so far. Yeah, it could be rough against Buffalo.
Yeah, it's huge that they got Bo Brinkley back.
It is.
Long snap. Do not undervalue the long snapping of a football team. And particularly a long snapper who has been here about almost a decade and basically never messes up.
Even more valuable than the receivers blocking.
By the way, you made a reference to missing Corey Davis in the run game, and you're right.
I did.
They will.
I got it in there.
Now the question is, you know, today, if you went by yesterday as a timeline, it's not necessarily the case, but Kamale Correa was the next guy to go on the COVID list on September 30th. Christian Fulton went the next day. Adam Humphries and Cam Batson the day after that. Could any of those guys be activated? And then, if so, what can you expect out of them in a game like this? Yeah, they're going to be – there are some severe limitations here. And especially also, we know that Adoree Jackson remains on IR. So he's – because we thought maybe by now, could Adoree Jackson get back? Clearly no.
How concerning is that to you if you're a Titans fan? I mean, look, we've talked about it. He's obviously very important. That goes without saying. But how long-term of a thing do we think this is with Adoree Jackson?
Well, it's not season-ending, or we would know that. So, I mean, the way Mike Vrabel has talked about it, now, he doesn't give out a lot on injuries. We know this. But if there's something definitive, you know, I mean, he'll confirm it. I mean, he might say, yeah, I hope a guy gets out there, and he might know in his head that it's still 3 weeks away. I mean, I guess I would look at Adoree Jackson as you could probably count him out for Sunday too. But I don't know that it's necessarily a lot longer than that. Could he be back? Maybe, you know, just throwing out speculation, but they have the Steelers on October 25th. I think they'll still have him for a majority of the season, just a matter of when. But, yeah, they could certainly use him in this game. We don't know if John Brown's going to play, but still, this is a game they could really use more help at that position. They could use more help in general at that position based on what's been going on so far this year.
So from a play-calling perspective defensively, like, do we know the status of Shane Bowen heading into this game? Is he going to be available?
It's a good question.
Back and call plays? And if not, what do you do? I think the Titans basically had Vrabel calling plays in the game against Minnesota. I wonder if that's the case again, or do you let a guy maybe like Jim Haslett, who does have some experience there, who has called plays before defensively at the NFL level, does he become involved there, or does Vrabel just take it over again and roll from there if Bowen can't go?
Well, I'm not even sure what happened at Minneapolis, you know.
Well, that's true.
I mean, Vrabel tried to ask that question. He didn't really answer other than, like, Craig Aukerman, you know, was more involved in the global stuff with the headset on.
Right, when Vrabel
needed.
Was over with the defense, yeah.
But I'm not even sure that Jim Haslett didn't have more of a role there. But, yeah, my guess would be primarily it would be on Vrabel. So, but no, there's no word yet on that. I mean, that's another thing. Like tomorrow, you know, you go around pregame usually to, in part, see who's out there. Like, you know, a couple weeks ago, their home opener, you had Malcolm Butler working out the quad, right? Or the hamstring quad. It's like, okay, how's he look and all that stuff. This will be the first time I've ever heard of where, like, pregame, you're like, what coaches are out there and what coaches are not out there?
Scanning the press box. Is he up there?
Yeah.
Bring your binoculars to the stadium tomorrow.
Well, you can go down there some pregame too. So it's also not just looking at what players are like healthy or whatever. It's like what coaches are actually here today for work.
Yeah,
I mean the Titans have not specified staff. It's just staff. So that can be front office. That could be other people in the building. That can be coaches.
And then we had the question earlier on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, about Arthur Smith and whether or not he's been affected by this. Doesn't look like he has.
No.
Although I guess we don't know who the staffer was yesterday, but it doesn't sound like Arthur Smith.
That would be I mean, Arthur Smith has been unaffected and was scheduled to do media along with Aukerman without Shane Bowen at 8 a.m. yesterday. Then, of course, the new news hit. So tomorrow morning.
We're one step away, Joe.
Hold tight, everybody.
One step away. It's been a week and a half full of waiting for COVID tests. We got to do it one more time, and then we could have a game tomorrow to talk about. It makes me very excited.
And if it's good news, very few opportunities for this show to actually have a game day broadcast, a pregame broadcast.
That'd be our second one of the year. Monday night game, too. Just rolling it in here. We'll have one more at least with Thursday night football, too. Looking forward to it.
That's right. So, yeah, let's hope we are just talking about football tomorrow.
That's going to do it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll be back 6 a.m. in the morning. Darren, Donick, and Chase. Coming up next, this is ESPN 102.5 The Game.